Tonight we're going to be looking at saved yet as by fire, because we are, each and every one of us that have received Christ, going to face a judgment. Now I praise the Lord, we're not going to the great white throne judgment. That's for unbelievers. The believers are going to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, everything that you've ever done from the day you got saved until the day you die is going to be judged. It's either going to be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And it's going to be judged by fire. Most of us know what happens to wood, hay, and straw when fire hits. It's not a pretty thing. But what happens when gold, silver, and costly stones hit the fire? If anything happens at all, it's even more pure than it was. And so we want to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, because this is the foundation. You can't lay any other foundation. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And so before we look deeper into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, I want you to look with me real briefly at 1 Corinthians 6:19. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. If you want to see the temple of God today, where do you look? Do you look at the magnificent church buildings that are all around us? Do you look even at this church building to see the temple of God? I hope not. They're just buildings. There were Christians assembled. But the temple of God is your body. If you have received Christ, the Holy Spirit resides within you. And he wants you to glorify him with your body, which is now his. And folks, the sad thing is, many Christians, and I'm not saying they're not Christians, but they don't seek to glorify God. They're what the Bible calls carnal Christians. And we're going to talk about that. Many of the people that we know, we say there's no way they're saved because of what they do. Many of them are saved. They really have received Christ, but they're living primarily for this world. We don't want to say we can tell who's saved and who can't be saved or who isn't saved because we don't know. One of these days, it's all going to be revealed. But when we look for God's temple, we look at ourselves. We start off now in 1 Corinthians 3:11, and this is an important verse because we just had a new pope put into office, didn't we? He just got elected, and he's the pope, and he's the vicar of Christ, and he's whatever they say he is. But 1 Corinthians 3:11 gives us a little pause here to think about this thing. He says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for every Christian's life is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, this is a verse, again, I want to encourage you. If you've never meditated on this verse, if you've never memorized this verse, this is an excellent verse to meditate on. He, talking about the Lord himself, will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And of course, who is the Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We as Christians believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Jesus Christ is the foundation for our lives. Now, I know we just had, as I mentioned, the Pope put into office, and they believe he's the vicar of Christ, and he is the foundation for the church. I beg to differ with that, because in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The name Peter is Petros. It's a little rock. Jesus Christ is Petra, the big rock. There's only one foundation for the church, and it's not a pastor, it's not a bishop, it's not a cardinal, and it's not the Pope. It's Jesus Christ himself. He's the foundation. He's the rock. I'm glad it's not Peter. As much as I respect the Apostle Peter, right after Peter said the confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, just a few verses later, Jesus began to explain that he had to go to the cross and he was going to die. And Peter said, never, Lord, this will never happen to you. And the Lord said what? Get behind me, Satan. I admire Peter. I got to tell you, Peter did a lot of good things. Peter preached the first message for the Lord, and 3,000 got saved. And so I have no problem with Peter, except I don't want my foundation built on somebody that one minute is giving glory to God and proclaiming the truth, and the very next minute is proclaiming things that are not true according to God. I want somebody that always proclaims the word of God faithfully. And there's only been one man or one woman in all history, one man, that ever preached the truth all the way through. I've made some mistakes in my preaching. I've learned later that what I taught earlier, that may not have been right according to God's word. As we continue to grow, we learn more. Jesus Christ never learned more. Jesus Christ knew it all. And so we praise the Lord that we have a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation, if you're a Christian, for your Christian life. And now you and I have the opportunity to build upon that foundation. And you get to choose whether you're going to live in a life that's a spiritual life or a carnal life. Are you going to choose to live for Christ's glory and his honor, or are you going to choose to chase after the things of the world? There are a lot of born-again Christians that are far more interested in the things of this world than the things of the world to come. Let's just say today, and I know a lot of Christians gamble, and I'm not going to preach a message against gambling, but let's just suppose today I won the lottery, and I won $500 million. How much difference is that going to make in my life at age of 77? It's probably going to be more of a curse than it is a blessing. I don't want to chase after those things. I don't want to be a gambler. I don't want to be a big spender. I want to be faithful. It's required in a steward what? That he be found faithful. Not successful in the world's eyes, but faithful to what God has called us to. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, if anyone builds on this foundation, in other words, you've already received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, even a casual glance tells us there are two kinds of builders. Both are Christians. We don't just throw people away because they're not out winning souls. We don't throw people away because they don't serve in a Sunday school. We don't throw people away because they don't give to the offering. They may very well be God's children. That's not ours to judge. If they say they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm going to say praise the Lord. They're going to hurt themselves in the end. When judgment comes, they're not going to be happy. But when you look at those two kinds of builders, they're both Christians. One is building spiritually for God's glory and God's kingdom. The other is building for this world and the praise of men. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, a lot of the Jewish people thought they were really walking with God. But Jesus made it very clear, even to the religious leaders, that they were living for the praise of men. We have to be careful because it's hard for us sometimes to see what's very easy for God to see. We're going to look at four different things today that God is going to judge us based upon. And it's important to understand a carnal Christian is a saved Christian. If you looked at the life of Lot, Abraham's nephew, and you look at how he lived and where he chose to live and what he did, would you have thought he was a believer in God? But Lot is in Hebrews chapter 11. Lot was a man of faith. It didn't look like it. It looked awful for Lot. But Lot is going to be in heaven. And you look at that and you say, boy, how can a guy who was with Abraham, who saw the faith of Abraham, just turn away as far as he turned away? Boy, he turned away a long ways. Some of the things he did, you marvel at it. He got drunk, and he got his two daughters pregnant, but he's going to be in heaven. And so again, he was carnal. He built for this world. He cared about this world. He wanted the pleasures of this world, but he was a believer. And so we praise the Lord for those folks. It's sad that when they get to heaven, there's not going to be much reward, if any reward at all, but they're going to get to heaven. And so we rejoice in that. But wood, hay, and stubble are cheap and combustible. And if you're going to be judged by fire, and you're building wood, hay, and straw, what does that mean? That means everything you've done from the day you got saved until the day you die is just going to be burned up. There's not going to be any condemnation for the Christian. So the Lord's not going to say you didn't do this and you didn't do that and this was wrong, and it's just going to be gone. No condemnation, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. But still, there is going to be judgment. Remember when the woman caught in adultery came before the Lord, and the Lord wrote down on the ground, and all the men that were accusing her of adultery walked away? And Jesus says, hasn't anybody condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said what? Neither do I condemn you. But he did say, go and leave your life of sin. Telling somebody they're in sin is not condemnation. It's simply the truth. When we say to somebody that's an alcoholic, we say, what you're doing is sin. We're not condemning them. We're telling the truth. You got to make a change here. When you tell a thief that stealing is sin, you're not judging them. You're telling the truth. There has to be a repentance. There has to be a change here. So when we talk about wood, hay, and stubble, they're cheap and they're combustible. Gold, silver, and precious stones are precious and permanent. The fire isn't going to hurt them at all. If they go through the fire, all they're going to do, even if there was gold and silver and they melt a little bit, all it does is brings the impurity to the top and they're gone. And so we praise the Lord, we get to choose. But unfortunately, many times, we're not sure which we're doing. And that's where the rub comes in. Sometimes we think things are gold, silver, and precious stones, and the Lord's going to say, no, that was wood, hay, and stubble. And sometimes you'll do something for the Lord, and everybody else may say that's wood, hay, and stubble, but the Lord says, man, that's precious stones in gold and silver. And so we're going to look at this a little deeper. One of these days, we're going to find out for sure, each one of us, how much of our life was wood, hay, and straw, and how much was gold, silver, and precious stones. How many of you think that everything you've done from the day you got saved till the day you're going to die is gold, silver, precious stones? I sure don't. I think a lot of it's going to be gone. I hope there's some gold, silver, and precious stones because I have tried to work for the Lord, but it's not ours to judge. Many people, you know, you can fool your wife, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your congregation, but you can't fool the Lord. He looks way past what we are doing to why we're doing it and how we're doing it. And so in 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. One of these days, you're going to know. Today, sometimes we wonder, is what I'm doing really for the right purpose? Is it being done in a way that glorifies God? Is it being done for God's glory? Because sometimes we can have mixed attitudes of why we're doing what we're doing. Somebody may have gone to your church this morning, and you really didn't want to go, but somebody has to be there. Somebody may have taught a Sunday school class, but really didn't want to do it, but somebody's got to do it, so here I am. Is that wood, hay, or stubble? I don't know. Is it gold, silver, precious stones? Be careful with that, because a lot of people are going to be very surprised when they get there on Judgment Day. And a lot of what they thought was wood, hay, and stubble may very well receive a wonderful reward. And a lot of what they were very sure was gold, silver, precious stones is going to be burned up. So we're in for quite a surprise, I think. One of these days, we're going to take the fire test. So when we look at the day of the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be, first of all, a time of revealing. It's going to reveal to us why we did what we did. Was it for the right reason? Number two, it's going to be a time of reward. Many people are going to get eternal rewards that are going to last for all eternity. The crowns are going to be passed out. Some people are going to get many crowns. Some people are going to get a few. The third thing is it'll be a time of regret. You know, one day the Lord's going to wipe away all tears, but it won't be until after this judgment. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a lot of tears shed because a lot of people are finally going to see, I was so busy chasing the things of this world that I didn't pursue a relationship with my Lord and I didn't serve him with my heart. Folks, it's a time that we need to be ready for. Once again, I want to read 1 Corinthians 3:13. Their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it into the light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So it's not revealed yet. None of us are absolutely certain that what we're doing is going to get an eternal reward. I can't judge, even in my own life, what's gold, silver, precious stones. You can't judge it either. You can't judge what's wood, hay, and stubble. And I want to talk about that a little minute. Samuel was a great prophet of God, called of God to serve him. And the Lord said, Samuel, I want you to go and pick out the new king because Saul has failed me miserably. Saul is not walking with me anymore. I'm going to take his kingship. He's done. So Samuel is called to go out to Jesse's home and pick one of his sons to be the king. Samuel looks at Eliab, the oldest son. Eliab's a tall man. He's a handsome man. He's got that dark complexion. And Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Folks, we're so easily misled because we look at appearances. We don't look at the heart. Why don't we look at the heart? Because I can't do that. Only God knows what's in my heart even. I don't know my own heart. You don't know your own heart. Only God truly knows that. I know I'm walking closer to the Lord than I used to, but am I as close today as he wants me to be? Probably not. So in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus talking to the religious leaders of his day, the important people, he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Wow. Stop and think of that. So many things, even in the church, that are highly esteemed by people who love and know the Lord says he detests it. And so we need to be careful with this because God doesn't judge the way we judge, and God doesn't see life the way we see it. So it may take, and it will take, till the next world to really know how much of your life and my life is going to go through the fire and receive a reward. But I'm willing to wait. I'm going to serve the Lord the most faithful that I can, and I'm going to trust Him to judge fairly, and He will judge fairly. He may not judge the way I think He's going to, but He's going to judge fairly based on His view of my life, not my view of my life. Folks, it's so important to understand that, because if you don't, you could spend your whole life building wood, hay, and stubble, thinking you're building gold, silver, process stones. So I want to look at four different things that God is going to judge. And it's very important you understand these, because God is going to judge this way. Number one, your attitude. It isn't just what you do. It's why you're doing it. What is your attitude going in? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul says, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel." How many men, and I'll say women, I know women shouldn't be pastors, but some are. How many people do you know that are pastoring today that are making far less financially pastoring than they could have had they just pursued whatever God gifted them with in life? Most pastors I know, and I know there's a few that are extremely rich, but I don't know them. Most pastors I know are making far less than they could if they just gave their time to something else. So it's important for us to understand the attitude that we come in. Paul says, God requires that I preach. God said, you're going to preach, and you better preach. God said the same thing to me. I don't have a choice in the matter. God called my life to preach. Long as I got health, I'm going to preach. When I can't do it anymore, I'm going to stop. But the reward is, I don't ask much financially. I don't need much because I had 40 years in the shop. I'm okay. So I'm serving the Lord, making far less than I could be making. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm doing it without charge. Paul was a tent maker. Paul supplied his own needs by what he did. And it's extremely important to understand, Paul says that he was required to preach. And most preachers that I know that are faithful, they're required of God. It isn't a choice they come up with. The Lord said, preach. And they said, okay, Lord, I'll preach. I'm your servant, whatever it takes. So some of you, like I mentioned, came to church and you really didn't want to do what God called you to do, but you're doing it. Folks, that's important. We may say, well, if you do it and you really didn't want to, your attitude's wrong. Well, your attitude is wrong, but you're doing what's right. I know that sounds contrary, but it's not. It's better if you want to do it and you do it because you want to, because you love the Lord. But even if you do it for the wrong reason, I believe you're going to get a reward. Probably won't be as much as you would have got had you done it with the right heart, but it's extremely important to understand. Jesus talks about people who pray to be seen by men. You can pray for the wrong reason, and the only thing you're going to get for reward is the praise of men. If you look at that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, I want you to see the difference here. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you're doing things to please men, for the praise of men, and men praise you, guess what? You've got your reward. But if you do things secretly for God's glory, and you don't tell others about it, God sees it. You don't have to announce it. And what the Lord is saying here is watch your attitude. Your attitude is important. Again, I'm not going to say there won't be any reward for those who have served but really wish they didn't have to. Because there's a lot of that, isn't there? In most churches I know of, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. You can look at our own church. Is that true? I'm going to say it's pretty true. You got the same people that year after year after year do the work. I'm sure they get tired. We all get tired sometimes. But keep doing the work. It's got to be done. Number two, whose authority are you doing the work in? This is extremely important. Has God called you to do what you're doing? Or are you just doing it thinking this is going to please God? There's a difference here. So your authority is going to be called into question. In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. When a person wins the decathlon in the Olympics, they can't just win it by having the best time. They have to do it according to the rules that are set out. And God has set rules for his servants, things that should be done and things that should not be done. And I mentioned women pastors. They're in almost every church denomination I know of now. What does God say about that? God says they shouldn't be. It's not because they're not as talented as men. But God has reasons that he said the pastors are to be the husband of one wife. That's what he said. And so a woman who's doing a job that she's not called to, whose authority is she doing it in? It's not God's. It's her own choice that I'm going to be a pastor. Well, God says you ought not to be. I'm not going to say they're not going to get any reward because I know some women that are pastors that are really trying to serve the Lord. But it's not in God's authority. There are things that we are called to do in God's authority and God's way. And when we break God's authority and we break God's way, I'm afraid there's not going to be a whole lot of reward for that kind of thing. I'm not saying the woman doesn't have the right attitude. Those women, many of them, are very dedicated, at least in their heart, to thinking, I'm doing this for God's glory. But you can't work for God's glory by breaking his word. So we need to be careful with this thing. Number one, he's going to look at her attitude. Number two, he's going to look at the authority of why you're doing what you're doing. Who called you to it? Was it God or was it your own desires? Number three, according to your ability. There are a lot of people that are going to get judged at the judgment seat of Christ that are going to get huge rewards for not doing very much. And there are going to be people at the judgment seat of Christ that are going to get very small rewards for doing huge amounts of work for the Lord. And why do you say that? Well, because in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. For from everyone who's been given, much more will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So what he's saying is it's according to the abilities that God has given you. I'm not going to stand in the judgment comparing what I've done for the Lord with what Billy Graham has done for the Lord. Billy Graham and a lot of other preachers have been gifted far more than I've ever been gifted. I'm going to be judged according to what I've done with what God has given me. This is not a comparison with God. I'm not going to stand in judgment compared to any other man. I'm going to stand in judgment based upon what God has given to me and what I've done with what he's given. I would rather be a man that has a court-size gift from God who uses that gift right to the top of that court jar than be a man that has a 10-gallon gift from God that uses it about 5 gallons worth. And there's a lot of people like that. They're extremely blessed of God, super intelligent, but they're given about half of what God's given. There are others of us that aren't quite so gifted that are given hopefully all we've got. When it comes judgment day, the Lord's going to give far more to those that have not been quite as gifted, that have simply been faithful, faithful, faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "Who makes you different from anyone else?" Folks, you're not like anybody else that's ever been created. You're a totally unique creation of God. What do you have that you did not receive? We don't have a thing that we have not received from God. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I think all of us know the story of the little widow that went to the temple when Jesus was there, and all the rich people were putting in all their big money and the coins, and it was all rattling, and everybody was excited. And a little widow comes up and puts in 2 pence, which is less than a quarter of a penny. And the Lord said she put in more than all, not just some of the others, but all of the others. The story is told in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, and it's an extremely important story. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins. Worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." You see, we're not compared to others. We're compared to with what God has gifted us with and what we do with what God has gifted us with. This widow gave more than all the others. When Mary of Bethany took the alabaster box of perfume and anointed our Lord's hair. What did the disciples say about that? What a waste! That could have been sold, given to the poor. What did Jesus say? In Mark chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me." The poor you'll always have with you. And you can help them anytime you want, but you'll not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. She did what she could. Let me ask you, are you doing what you can? Are you using what God has given you for his glory? Now, just because your pastor says that's a foolish use of things and time, who's the final judge? Am I going to be your judge on Judgment Day? I hope not. God's going to be our judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to make all judgment. And he knows your heart. What might seem foolish to me might be right in the middle of God's plan for your life. Don't let a man, any man, tell you what you're doing is wrong if God says it's right. The Lord said that what she has done is going to be remembered through all time. And today, guess what? We're keeping prophecy Jesus gave because we're talking about her again. What she did was right in the Lord's eyes. The question is not what you'd do if you were Billy Graham or what you'd do if you were President Trump, or what you would do if you were a millionaire. The question is, what are you going to do with what God has given you. We all say, boy, if I had a million, I'd do this and I'd do that. Well, most of us are never going to have a million. But you might have 75 bucks. What are you going to do with that? That's what we're responsible for. We're only responsible for what God has entrusted to us. We don't have to worry about what somebody else will do. But we better be quite concerned about what we do, because it's going to be judged by fire. And the fire is going to test every part of your work. So number one, he's going to judge us by our attitude. Number two, he's going to judge us by the authority of the reason why we've done what we've done. And number three, it's going to be according to your ability. The last one is one that most people don't even think about. It's going to be according to your aspiration. What did you want to do for God? What's on your heart for God? You know, I know people that have been witnessing for years. And as far as they know, nobody's ever came to faith in Christ by their ministry. But the exciting thing to me is, God's going to judge us not according to the results we've achieved. He's going to judge us according to our aspirations for God. The sad thing isn't that some people have witnessed for years and nobody came to faith. The sad thing is many people know they should be witnessing and they don't even aspire to witness. They've never witnessed to anyone. You know, they tell us, and I don't know how they do this. I don't know if they take surveys. But 85% of born-again Christians, it's a startling fact, but 85% have never witnessed to anybody about their faith. Folks, that's not good. We should all be witnesses, at least to our own families. You know, we got to be witnessing. We got to be telling. But I'm not responsible for the results. I'm responsible to share the gospel. The Bible says no man can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws them. I can't draw them. I can tell them the truth. I can tell them the gospel the best I can do it. But God does the drawing. Why is one preacher who preaches almost the same thing as I preach successful with 100 walk the aisle? And I maybe get 5 or 6 a year. Why is that? That's because it's God's choice. It's not mine. If it was mine, this church would be overflowing. But I'm not responsible for that. I do the best I can. King David wanted to build the temple for God. But God said, you're not the man because you're a man of blood. You've shed a lot of blood. He said, your son's going to do it. But I rejoice about what Solomon said about his dad. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17, it says, my father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood. He's the one who will build the temple for my name. Folks, sometimes you don't get to do all that you want to do for God. But he judges your heart. David wanted to do it. As far as I'm concerned, David got rewarded for doing it. Because David drew up the plan that God gave him. David saved the gold. David saved the silver. David did the whole thing. All Solomon had to do was put it together. Folks, it's important to have that desire in your heart to want to do God's will for God's glory. You may never be able to do it. You may not be the one to lead an evangelistic campaign and thousands of people get saved. But you can do what you can do. And God will bless it according to his will, not ours. We're responsible. The Bible says it's required of a steward that he be found successful. Is that right? That's not right. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. That's all our job is. Our job is to be faithful. God gives the increase as God wants to give the increase. But be sure that you're faithful. Be sure that you're trying to do, that you aspire to do, great things for God. I'm working on a message right now about being great for God. Most people say, well, God never called us to be great. Yes, he did. He called every one of us to be just like Jesus Christ. That's a great work of God. I want to encourage you in this because one day soon, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Every Christian that's in the grave, their body's coming out. Every Christian that's alive, your body's going to be gone. We're going to be changed. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to do two things in the 7 years the tribulation's going on the earth. The first one is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The second one is the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready? Are you doing what you can do? Again, I'm not telling you to do more. I'm just telling you to keep serving. As long as you can serve, as long as you can do what you can do, be busy about the things of the Lord. I have so many friends my age now that have retired, and they won't do anything anymore. You see, I'm retired. I can't serve in my church anymore because why? Well, I'm retired. I can't witness anymore because, well, I'm retired. I did it for years. Folks, there are Christians today that are throwing away, literally throwing away, their last 15 years on this world. God didn't talk about retirement. That's part of the American dream. We want to make enough money so that we can retire in style. We want to have the riches of this world. We want to have enough money saved so just the interest supplies everything we're ever going to want. Is that God's plan for your life? I don't think so. At least it's not his plan for my life. I'm glad that someday I will retire, but I'm not going to retire from God's work until I can't do it anymore. There's more rewards to be earned. We're not done yet. I can affect my children, my grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren for Christ's glory. I can affect this area of this community as I and Dave go out on Saturday's calling. We're affecting lives. I can't tell you how many people, I'm going to guess it's a third of the people that we call on, say, I used to go to church, but I haven't been in church in years now. It isn't just because of COVID. This has been going on for 10, 20, 30 years for Christians. I used to faithfully serve, but I don't anymore. What a sad situation. God has called you to be his servant for all the days of your life. Don't give up the work. Do what you can according to your ability. Do what you can according to your aspirations. Keep moving forward. God's doing a great work. God's building a kingdom of men and women, boys and girls. And he's called you to be a co-laborer. Keep at the work. Soon our work's going to be over. For me, that's going to be a sad day. It's not going to be a glad day. It's going to be sad when I can't go anymore for Christ. Father, we're grateful. You've called us to serve you with all of our hearts. Lord, help us when we do it for pride, when we do it for the attention of men and women and not for your glory. Father, that's going to be wood, hay, and straw. Father, encourage our hearts to keep at the work. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.